This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're listening to Jax
and Dean
on our podcast.
This is our podcast.
It is our. I've just said that, Dean.
This is our podcast.
Oh, it's still our podcast now. That's cute.
Cute.
Oh my god.
Oh my god.
Play the podcast, please.
You are with Fossey and Dean for the Tuesday drive home. It is 17 minutes past four, which means it's time for
Joy War. Jack and Dean. Joy War.
That song,
imagine all these lawyers dancing around.
That's right, dancing lawyers.
You don't see that very often.
Joy is live in the studio.
We can dance.
I haven't introduced you yet. You're destroying the mystery of radio. Okay, joining us live in the studio is Monica from KHQ. How are you doing, Monica?
Hello, I'm dancing right now.
Dancing. Give applause to dancing. Dancing lawyers. Now, we're having a bit of a laugh now, but let's just bring the tone back down. Mm. We've been following with interest over the recent weeks. We've been talking about surrogacy, so having a baby, and we talk about sperm donation, and then we've been talking about what happens with a child conceived of sperm donation. How do you then perhaps put parenting orders in place to define their schooling? We're now going to send the kids to school.
Yeah, we are.
And we're going to talk about bullying and discrimination in the playground for rainbow families.
So what we wanted to talk about today, and I'm probably ideally placed, I've got two youngies, one who's recently started school, and it's a pretty scary thing, I think, as a parent. But I think when you're in a same-sex or rainbow family, you've got a lot of other considerations to think about, and there's probably more fears in many respects. So choosing a school, I think, is the most obviously important and stressful thing. And I just wanted to talk about some of the issues you might want to think about when you're considering a school to select. So obviously you want to look at a school that is open-minded and family-friendly and has friendly policies around same-sex families. You want to look quite closely at their policies around bullying, because that's potentially a risk for a child going to school. You want to look at the diversity of the children and the families attending the school. And you also want to look at the educational programs and whether they have any LGBTIQ staff and things that are immediately apparent. So I think really a first step is talking to your contacts, looking for recommendations and talking to your networks about their experiences, good and bad, and what they might suggest. And then if you find a school that you're happy with, make sure that you organise a meeting with the school and ask them directly all the questions that you're fearful of. Ask them about their policies. How do they tackle bullying in that school? What's an example of how they've dealt with that in the past? And how do they support same-sex families within the school community?
Is it common for schools to have policies around these areas now?
It is, isn't it? Well, it's certainly common for bullying, absolutely, because that's common, I think, throughout all of our community, but very much so in this environment. So one of the good questions I thought would be to ask, and it's a really good test for a school, is how do you deal with Mother's Day and Father's Day? Mm. When you have a same-sex family, you know, it can lead to a child feeling isolated and left out of those kind of events. So asking questions around that, how do you handle it? So there are some schools that have Family Day instead of a Mother's Day celebration or a Father's Day celebration, or there are schools that would allow, you know, the child to prepare two presents on a particular day just to make sure they're feeling included. So
that's a good point. So even back in the day, we used to have like Grandparent Day, bring your grizzly old grandmother out of school with you.
And they still have that.
Do they? But not all kids have grandparents.
That's right. So allowing special people to come along as well. So being inclusive.
So having inclusive language around those events.
So also the other thing you've got to do is be preparing your child for how they answer the curly questions. You know, if they're asked, you know, tell me about your family, do you have a mum and your dad? And get them into, I guess, a confident answer about that. Mm. Yeah.
Is it also when you... I don't have no children, but when you do put kids in school, don't you need to like provide information about contact details and who to ring if they get sick and who to come and pick them up?
You absolutely do. So that's really important as well. I think certainly in my experience, in my home life, I've got a really good relationship with the school teacher, and if I'm worried about anything, you know, I'll send them an email or I'll go in and see them when I'm dropping them off. But I think when you've got concerns around potential bullying for a child, even more important, keep those lines of communications open, be direct about your fears and concerns, and and form a relationship with the people who are looking after your child and, mm-hmm. and make sure they're keeping in contact about how they're doing.
And so in terms of duty of care, which always sounds so serious, duty of care...
So duty of care, mandatory reporting, sort of the same thing, but it's just, it's an onus on the teaching staff to report anything that suggests a child might be at risk. So obviously bullying and things like that, very common. But if it's getting to a point, we've got to realise that certainly within the GLBTI community, we are, you know, you have very high risks of suicide and things like that, particularly in secondary school when children are coming out. So providing that level of support, making sure that everyone's okay, and just... I guess if you're a parent looking to put your child in a school, just knowing that teachers have these obligations. They have to... There's mandatory reporting rules around risks to children, and that involves the police and the Department of Health and Human Services. And they have to really do more than that. They have to obviously respond in an emergency. They have to report to the authorities. They have to be in contact with the parents. But they also need to provide ongoing support. So a lot of schools these days have counselling services and facilities.
Of course. And I suspect like the source of bullying might be other children. Mm-hmm. It might be other parents. It might be the sort of institutional, unintended forms of bullying or discrimination where they say father, mother, rather than special parent.
Absolutely.
So it's quite complex. And of course, that's when you're from a rainbow family, but the child may not identify as rainbow, but certainly with the Gillick competency and trans kids, that must just get so much more complex.
I think with the certainly with intersex and all of those kind of cases, you need a school that's going to be able to deal with that well and deal with it properly.
I guess that leads to the... Perhaps it's a bit of an obvious question. What do you do when things go wrong? You know, and I know that schools generally, I suppose, are by and large are getting much better at this, and they're really getting a handle on how to prevent and deal with bullying if and when it does occur. But what if you're in a situation where you're just not getting to where you need and the school just isn't being as responsive as what you'd like?
I'm not going to respond as a lawyer. I'm going to respond mm-hmm. as a parent. Get them out of the school.
Yeah.
Find a new school that's going to support your child. That's what I would do. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
So the other thing I wanted to talk about is just schools in the context of family law, because obviously when a family goes through a separation, sometimes it's the school's the first point of contact for the parent. You might have a distressed parent dropping off the child to the school, or a problem with collecting or something like that. So the school can be really a great resource for someone who's going through the separation. But also, again, they're a support network to make sure your child's okay, that they're coping okay. Because often what we see is in separation circumstances, which are often difficult initially, young children really take that burden on, and sometimes it can affect their behaviour, their performance in school, all of those sorts of things. So for the school to be aware of what's happening, to be able to provide that level of support for the child and then communicate it with the parent becomes a very important sort of support network. And I guess from our point of view, being the lawyer, being a family lawyer, having done this for 20 years, what we often see is too, we see parents potentially taking the children when they shouldn't, altercations at the school that might involve the teachers. So just ensuring that, certainly the advice we give to clients is if there's an intervention order or something like that, give it to the school. Mm. If there's a parenting order that dictates who has the child when, give it to the school. The school can support you, but they have to have the information to do that.
It's so complex, isn't it?
It is really complex. It really is.
I thought having a dog was hard work.
You know, funnily enough, I've known a few law students over the years, and I remember asking one of them, what was the largest learning experience? If you had to condense it into one, what was the one most important thing you learned in your law degree? And they said, never get married.
Really?
It was a very cynical response for a law student, goodness. But it was never get married.
I'd probably say put it in writing.
Put it in writing.
Very good advice.
Fantastic. Thank you very much, Monica. We look forward to speaking with you or the team from KHQ Lawyers again next week.
Thank you.
You can find more Joycast and show blogs. Go to joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.